Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds, and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance, and dental care. This is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. Because your pet health matters. Please welcome your pet doctor host, veterinary media consultant, and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Children and pets, as adults, we are their guardians and protectors, but there are times when we can't be with them to ease their fears or soothe their concerns. This is especially true when we must leave a pet or a child at a hospital for medical procedures. When I was 3.5 years old, I had a ruptured appendix that caused me to celebrate Thanksgiving in Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. I couldn't understand why all the other children in the ward were getting turkey dinners, and I was getting a fresh bottle of intravenous fluids. And why weren't my parents by my side at all times? I just didn't understand. Thanks to two dads and a dog, thousands of children don't have to feel the abandonment and fear that I felt. But it isn't just a trip to the hospital that can distress a child or a pet. Just ask the parents of a crying baby. You can feel so helpless when you just can't seem to figure out what's making them so unhappy. The same frustrations experienced by the owner of the barking puppy or dog experiencing separation panic attacks. My guest today will be the founders of Josh & Friends, Dr. Randy Lang and Doug Lesser, the brains behind Canine Lullabies, Jerry Woodford. I'm your host, Dr. Bernadine Cruz, and after this short break, we'll be speaking with the humans of Josh & Friends, a fantastic example of pets lending a helping paw to children.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly. Right after these messages.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city, and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.FidoFriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
It's time to start scratching for donations for the Humane Society of Broward County's Walk for the Animals, presented by VCA Animal Hospitals. The walk is Saturday, March 1st at Esplanade Park in downtown Fort Lauderdale. You'll need a registration form, so stop by any VCA Animal Hospital, IHOP, the Museum of Discovery and Science, or the Humane Society. This event is also brought to you by Big 105.9, Comcast, Purina One,
PetLifeRadio.com,
Tidy Cats, and The Herald. Call 954-266-6817 or log on to walk4theanimals.com for more details. See you there.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
My guests today are Dr. Randy Lang and Doug Lesser of Josh and Friends. Gentlemen, if you could please tell me a little bit about what is Josh and Friends?
This is Randy, and I think what I'd like to do is just kind of give you an idea how the whole thing came about. When my daughter Jessica was 9 years old, she had to go into East Tennessee Children's Hospital here in Knoxville, Tennessee. She had to have surgery, and prior to the surgery, we had gone through what we call a pre-admission tour, and during that tour, they actually gave us a list of literature that they recommended that we read to our child to hopefully help make the experience less, you know, less fearful, less scary. And when I looked at the list and went to the bookstores and to the library, most of the books that they had recommended were older books. You know, Mr. Rogers Goes to the Hospital, Curious George, and not that they're bad, but none of them really were warm, uplifting, and none of them actually dealt with the realities of kids that go into the hospital, including the emotional as well as the physical side. And I, at that time, I started thinking, you know, we really ought to look into doing something about that. So Jessica ended up, she went and had her surgery. Everything went fine. And I think the thing that cemented it for me was during recovery, I was walking up and down the hallway while Jessica was in recovery. And I happened to look in all these, you know, patient rooms with these children. And at least half of them didn't have anybody with these kids. They were alone. And that concerned me. So I went up to the nurse's station and I said, what's the deal with these kids? Why are they alone? And they said, well, they're drop-offs. And that's a term I'd never heard before. And in a nutshell, what happens is that children are dropped off every day, thousands of them, at hospitals for treatment, whether that be chemo, surgery, whatever. Mom and dad simply can't be there, and so these kids are left alone, and of course they're scared out of their mind. And at that moment, I said, you know, well, I'm going to do something about this. I decided I was going to write a book, and when I saw these kids sitting alone in the hospital, I'd kind of lean my head in and wave at them, and they'd kind of wave back, but you could see they were scared. And I decided I was going to use Josh, my golden retriever at the time, as the character for the book, going through a hospital experience, but going through a veterinary hospital experience. And I decided that no child should ever be left alone, and that's where the plush puppy came into being. I thought, why don't we have Josh, a real live Josh, which, of course, you know we do have, and then as well as a plush Josh that accompanies the book. And at the end of the book, Josh said, now I've been through my adventure and getting well. Let me help you go through your adventure and getting well. And what he does is that child then receives that puppy, and when they check into the hospital, they check in with their little Josh puppy. And if the hospital allows it, when the child gets their wrist bracelet, their identification bracelet, quite often they'll put one on Josh. And Josh is able to go perfectly well with really anywhere in the hospital except, of course, for surgery. And he can be on the x-ray table. He can, if they have to have an MRI, he can actually be in the MRI tube with them. And just basically to give them comfort and support. And that's where the puppy came about, and that's where the book came about. I just didn't think there was anything out there that dealt with the realities of kids that have to go into the hospital.
As I had mentioned earlier in the intro, at 3.5 years of age, I had ruptured appendix and was in the hospital by myself many hours. And it was, yes, very distressing. And one of the other things I found very distressing too, because parents are trying to ease your fears of saying, oh, what they're going to do is draw some blood and it's not going to hurt. It's like, huh. You know, after a while, the child starts to somewhat doubt what the parent's saying, because that hurt, thank you very much. What subjects does Josh cover in your book?
Well, he covers all those things, you know, including having blood taken. And I went and interviewed nurses and doctors to find out, you know, when a child does come in and has to have a blood sample drawn, how do you handle that? And part of what they told me is that they let the child still have some, you know, control. And what they do is they say, now, we're going to take blood. Which arm would you like us to use? So even though the child is going to, you know, eventually acquiesce, they do give them some control. Of course, they've got things that kind of take their mind off it. And in the book, we deal with everything from having an x-ray taken, you know, having blood sample taken, physical examination, and, of course, including surgery and recovery. And in a nutshell, what we do is we take a child, a.k.a. Josh, through a hospital experience, and we deal with the emotional, the physical, and really try to, you know, touch on all the things that a child's going to experience, but we keep it very uplifting, keep it very warm, but we don't shirk the fact that, you know, you may be in discomfort, you might be alone, and you might be scared, but understand that you're not alone. You have this wonderful doctor, this wonderful nurses, group of nurses, this wonderful hospital. You have your family, your friends, and even though they may not be with you, they're supporting you. And then, of course, you've got Josh, and Josh never really has to leave your side. If that child does go into surgery, Bernadine, what happens is that child will have Josh all the way up until they, you know, roll that child into surgery, and as soon as they roll him out, that plush puppy will be laying right next to that child. So when they wake up, guess who's there for them? Their Josh puppy. And we've got thousands of testimonials, if you will, that, tell us that this project has been very beneficial to their children.
Do you have any particular stories? Have any children written you, the two dads with the dog, telling you about how the book has helped them?
Doug, do you want to tell a story about Josh, the young child?
You know, we had a young man that was the son of one of Randy's clients, and his name happens to be Josh, ironically. But he had two episodes. The first was early in his years when he was, in the 6 or 7 range, and he had some major surgery. And his mom got a Josh and a puppy and the book and used it to help young Josh feel better about what was going to take place in his life at that time. And she wrote and told Randy how beneficial it was to have the plush Josh with her son Josh during that traumatic period. Well, a few years later, Josh was home with his older brother, and mom was at the hospital. She happened to be a nurse, and she was working. And he had a bicycle accident, which was fairly severe, and he had some head trauma. And so the neighbor called 911, ambulance came, and they were loading Josh into the ambulance when his older brother had the foresight to run upstairs and grab young Josh's Josh puppy and took him along with him to the hospital. When they arrived at the hospital, they certainly needed to diagnose and to understand what was going on with young Josh. They needed to give him an MRI, and they couldn't calm him down long enough to be settled and stable to go through that procedure. When his brother suggested, why don't you lay Josh's puppy, Josh, next to him? And when they did, the boy Josh calmed down, and they were able to diagnose him more quickly to find out what kind of treatment they needed to administer. And it was just a great example of what the human-animal bond can do to help calm a child's fear. And that's what this project's all about, is the strength of the human-animal bond.
Is Josh, the real Josh, a therapy dog?
Actually, he has been. In Tennessee, we have what we call the HABIT program, the human-animal bond in Tennessee, which is a very, very large program involving a lot of primarily dogs, but a few cats. And I think a couple bunnies, too. But he is actually, they don't really call it certification, but he was passed and approved. But because of our schedule with the Josh Project, I don't take him into, you know, any of the local places, except once a month, Doug and I will take Josh down to Children's Hospital to a pre-admission tour, where the children that are going through pre-admission tour, we are able to let them meet the real Josh as we give them books and puppies, courtesy the local Remax broker here, if you will. They have a Josh tournament, golf tournament, every spring, and all the proceeds of that golf tournament go to provide books and puppies to the East Tennessee Children's Hospital pre-admission tour program, so that every child that goes through a pre-admission visit with the tour gets a book and puppy compliments of the local Remax dealer.
So in Tennessee, children are able to get one of these Josh puppies. But if somebody were to live in California, somebody's listening right now and they're in Minnesota, and they say, oh, my child, you know, loves dogs and is going to go in to have some surgery, how can I get myself a Josh puppy?
The easiest way for them to do that, Bernadine, is to go to our website. And there they'll find ample information about the program and how they can order their own Josh and the book. And our site is www.joshandfriends.com. It's real easy, and they can find a link to email us with any questions they might have. But it's a very simple and easy ordering process.
Now, I know Josh has been a big proponent of the Children's Miracle Network and their hospitals. How is he helping there?
Well, when Randy and I started this project, we wanted to reach as many children as we possibly could. That was one of our goals. And at the time, I was involved with a company here in Knoxville that was heavily involved in Children's Miracle Network. And this network of 170 children's hospitals every year now is helping over 17.5 million kids when they have to go in for whatever reason. So we decided that that was going to be our charity of choice. So for the past 10 years, every book and puppy that's been sold by our company, we donate $5 back to the local Children's Miracle Network hospital that serves the zip code where that purchaser lives. So somewhere over 38,000 Josh units have been sold in that 10-year period. So there's, you know, almost $200,000 that we've donated back. Now, our program, The Book and the Puppy, is for any child in any hospital. But our charity of choice is Children's Miracle Network Hospitals.
What I love about the whole package that you get, it's not just a dog and a book, but it actually comes in a little doghouse. So I'm sure a child getting this dog in a doghouse just has to be ecstatic because this is so unique, so fun, and the illustrations are so child-friendly. Who did the illustrations for the book?
I'm going to take that one, Doug.
Are you not going to let me brag? Okay.
I'm going to brag. Actually, when I wrote the book, I wanted Betsy and Doug to read my manuscript and just to give me their opinion. And Doug's wife, Betsy, is an artist here in Knoxville, and they read the book and they liked it. And I guess Betsy went home and said to Doug, and Doug, you can go ahead and add anything, but Betsy's always wanted to illustrate a children's book. And so she said, Doug, do you think Randy would let me illustrate his book? Well, I had already pretty much decided on another artist in town, had not really made an agreement, but had seen her work and had talked to her. And so Betsy came over one night and said, here's what I would like to do. Here's how I would illustrate it. It took me about 2 minutes to see the work that she did, and I told her, I said, you've got it. She just sold me right there. And so Betsy has illustrated this book, as well as another book that we have that we hope to bring out soon. And hopefully we'll be starting to illustrate a third book that I've written that will hopefully be coming out down the road, too. So Betsy is a wonderful illustrator and uses a very unique technique. I think it's called stamp art. Is that right, Doug?
That's right, Randy.
Yes. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, now, I was just going to say you really made my life a lot easier for me.
We hope that Betsy's listening.
Well, it is very charming and is definitely friendly for the child. And I know I've read it to my own granddaughters, and I read it once, and much to my joy but chagrin, I said, can you read it again, Grandma? Can you read it again? Do you find this typically with children that they want it done over and over again?
Well, they want it read over and over again, and we've also taken away from the book and then now into the puppy. We've had mothers write to us and say, Susie or Bobby has had a Josh since they were 2 or 3 years old. Now they're 8 or 9 years old, and they've loved that dog so much over the years that they've worn him out. And is there any way to get a new one? So we've made it possible that, you know, people can get the puppy by itself. But these Joshes get so much love. They're very durable. But when you're a 24/7 companion with a child, you do tend to get worn out a little bit.
So instead of the Velveteen Rabbit, we have the plush puppy syndrome instead.
That's correct.
Kind of cute little story. I was talking to someone the other day, and she said, you know, my daughter has the Josh puppy in the book. And I said, well, really, that's nice. And she said, you know, she wrote a story about it. In fact, her class was asked to write, what is your favorite possession? And she wrote that her Josh puppy, and she's had the puppy now about 5 years, was her favorite possession, and she says she will go nowhere without that little Josh puppy. And I said, you know, that really makes me feel good, and it also demonstrates the fact that what Doug was talking about, this human-animal bond, even with a plush puppy, that bond that is so special between people and these animals is so strong, and you know, of course, that's the whole reason that I wrote the book, was to take advantage of this special relationship and to have an immediate and positive impact on these kids that are going into the hospital that are scared.
That time of trauma can really be a major turning point in a child's life, and having something there that they can hold on to is so important. I'll always remember I had a Betsy Wetsy doll when I was in the hospital, and Mom and Dad weren't there all the time, but I had that little Betsy Wetsy doll, and I'm not sure what happened to her, but Yep, that was my security blanket, my security doll at the time. And I'm sure that I know that Josh plush dog is much nicer to cuddle up with instead of a Betsy Wetsy doll.
Don't Randy, get a Betsy Wetsy doll.
We won't go into that. Randy, you mentioned you're coming up with a new book. What is the new book that you're coming out with?
Well, we have what we call the Josh Adventure Series, and I've written two of them and working on a third. And what we do is we take Josh and Smudge, who is his little sidekick in this, the original I'll Be Okay book, but I take them, the first one goes back to Iowa to the farm that I was raised on. The second one takes place up here in the Smoky Mountains. And the third one I'm working on actually takes place up in Central Park in New York City so we can deal with some of the issues of city kids. And what I do is I just teach the what I call the Judeo-Christian values that I was raised with in rural Iowa in the late 50s and 60s. And we use animal characters, and they're called life-threatening, life-changing adventures. But in the end, what we do is we teach kids that we can be different. We can all have different things going on in our life, but we need to pull together when things get tough. And I do this just to help, you know, these kids understand that we can be different, but we need to learn to live together and get along and to help each other out when things get tough. And there's several books that we have in mind down the road. It's just a question of time to do it. And you know, I still have a full-time business running an animal hospital, so we kind of have to work all this in our spare time.
That spare time is so hard to find. If somebody wanted to, again, get a book for their own child and the plush dog, where do they go?
Again, the easiest place to go is to the website at www.joshandfriends.com. And there they can order the book by itself, or they can order the entire Josh kit, which is the book, The Puppy in the Doghouse, you had mentioned earlier.
And if somebody says, I love this idea, I love children, I want to help children in children's hospitals, how can they get involved in maybe setting up a golf tournament or some other project for earning pets and books for these hospitals?
Go to that site and go to the email link, which is info@joshandfriends.com, or they can go directly to doug@joshandfriends.com and send me an email with their information and request, and I'll be glad to call them back, email them back, and create some kind of dialogue and help guide them along and show them how they can become more involved. We have
wonderful
corporations and community service organizations that are partners throughout the U.S. that have gotten behind the program and done some amazing things. The veterinary professional community, the AVMA, and local veterinarians throughout the country have really become involved in doing some great things. And so have the students at the veterinary schools, some great things that they're doing. When you're trying to help kids, it's not a bad thing. And a lot of people really want to get involved.
Children and pets, such a great combination. Been very fortunate to be in talking to Dr. Randy Lang and Doug Lesser of Josh and Friends Project. Wonderful way of trying to ease the concerns that children feel when they're in hospitals. If you're interested, please do check out their website. It is just a great, great service. Gentlemen, thank you again so much for being with us today.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
That's it. You're madder than a junkyard dog, and you're not going to take it anymore. Your feathers are ruffled, your dander is up, and you've got a definite bone to pick. Join us each week on Pet Peeves, the show that lets you dig through the dirt and unleash your passion for pets. Your host, pet expert and award-winning author, Amy Shojai, will talk about what makes you howl and what hisses you off. Pet Peeves, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and will see you now.
What do premature babies and dogs suffering with separation anxiety have in common? They're both calmed by the sound of a beating heart and soothed when music such as A Simple Child's Lullaby is played. We're going to be talking today to Terry Woodford, who's gone from rock and roll to rockabye. Terry, give us a little bit of a background about yourself.
Well, when I got out of graduate school, I went back to my hometown in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and got in the music business and learned how to write hit songs and discover songwriters and knew that if you couldn't evoke an emotional response in the listener with your record, then you weren't going to sell any records. You know, you want to get people where they want to hear it, and they buy it, and they bring it home, and they play it over and over and over, and if you don't move them, you're not going to make hits. So I learned how to do that, and I did that for about, I guess, 17 years, and then did a little favor for a daycare provider who wanted music to play at daycares. And so I thought, well, this will be a make-me-feel-good project. So I decided to use the human heart recorded from the chest and use it as the rhythm of traditional lullabies, and it might help them at nap time. And, of course, it worked its way into a cardiac recovery unit where it was able to calm babies after open-heart surgery, and I saw those babies being calmed, and it kind of changed my life. I felt like, well, this is a way that music can really be used for good and the power of music harnessed that way. And so for me, it was a life-changing experience. So for the next almost 20 years, we spread the use of it in hospitals, in intensive care units, neonatal units. It's used to prevent infant abuse because it'll stop babies from crying in just a few seconds. And so that's been my mission. And, you know, I speak to social workers and doctors and nurses. And then we kept getting these cards in from parents who said, well, you know, calm me and my husband, and it calmed our baby, and it put our dog to sleep.
So you didn't actually start planning on writing canine lullabies.
It's just the same music repackaged. And what happened was, I thought, you know, that the reason the dogs would stop barking and, you know, the baby stopped crying, and then the dog got a break like everybody else in the family. So we'd just laugh when they'd write those things or call us on the phone. We didn't laugh on the, you know, when they called on the phone, but we kind of snickered. So it wasn't until I wrote an article for the American Boarding Kennels Association. It got really intense where trainers were calling and saying they'd used their grandbaby's CD to calm the dog. And I'm embarrassed to say, but I don't have a dog, so I didn't have that personal experience. So I wrote this article, and I told them I'd give them free CDs to try on their boarding kennels if they just let me know if it worked, and here's what I'd been hearing. And so we took our baby CD, and we put a paper label on it. We put a picture of a dog on it, and we called it Canine Lullabies, Research Done on Human Babies First. I couldn't resist, you know. I had to put something fun there. And we got back over 96 boarding kennels said it reduced separation anxiety, diarrhea in the kennels, reduced their aggression. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. You know, I mean, but why would they not tell the truth? But still, it just seems so outside the box, you know. And I got a call from
most people think of playing classical music and
Once I realized, well, first of all, when I found out that this thing evidently really was calming the dogs, I started studying dogs and their hearing. And the thing that I noticed about their hearing and their barking, and, you know, they bark for almost the same reasons babies cry. And their hearing is so acute, their selective listening. You know, a dog can pretty much choose what they want to hear. You know how your dog will be in the living room with you and the television's playing and there's noise going on, and all of a sudden the dog's ears perk up. You could get that dog's attention if you wanted to. You know what I mean? That dog's hearing something that you and I don't hear. And so if they hear 50 times better than we do is what I've read. And if that's the case, if they don't have good selective listening, they'd all be ADHD. So they're able to focus on a sound and habituate or block out the others much better than we can. And we can do the same thing to some degree. Stevie Wonder's office used to be across from mine, and he would know who you were by the sound of your footsteps. And I used to try to trick him, you know, and put a little skip in my step or something. He'd always know who you were. He could isolate on that footstep sound and identify who you were. So you can develop selective listening. Humans can. But the dogs is probably second only to their sense of smell, their selective sense of smell. And, you know, they can train a search dog to hear a human heartbeat from 75 feet. Now, that's focus.
That is amazing.
So what would attract these dogs is the same thing that attracts the babies. Why would they choose to listen to it? First of all, the basic principles of relaxation and learning are the same for dogs and babies. Simplicity, repetition, predictability, consistent tempo, the emotion in the human voice, in the case of this music, the human heartbeat, which is familiar to them. And what I did is incorporated those basic principles of relaxation in the arrangements of these lullabies. They're simple, they're repetitive, you know, there's compassion in the singer's voice, and everything is done structured and very simple. So it gives them something to focus on or to fly to when they're going through the fight or flight response. It's a safe haven, it's predictable, it's non-threatening. So I think that's why it works, but, you know, only the dogs really know. But I thought that was a good guess. It's why it works on the babies. And I think the same reason for the dogs. They don't hear music like we do. Like, for instance, with babies, same thing with dogs. And I know I'll get a lot of people that don't agree with this, but I think classical music's probably one of the worst kinds you could play if you were really trying to calm your dog, because it's too complex. It's not structured, not predictable, and I think they just habituate to it just like they would anything else, as opposed to being calmed by it. You know, if you're calm with the classical music and maybe the dog's upset because you're upset, then I think you could calm a dog that way. But I know all the reports back from the American Boarding Kennels members weren't positive. We got one in New Hampshire who said, you know, we think your music is nice, but you see, our dogs are more cultured dogs, and they prefer smooth jazz. So I don't know whether that was the owners of the boarding kennel or the preferred the smooth jazz or the dogs, but some people really believe that, you know, that you can play out certain kinds of music and it calms their dogs. I think if it's simple, if it's repetitive and predictable, yeah, I think it will give something in their environment to focus on, or when there's a lot of other sounds in the environment that's upsetting them. It's kind of like order out of chaos. They're attracted to that order.
Terry, does this seem to work for a dog, for instance, that's afraid of thunder? Can you use it for those thunder-phobic dogs?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, in the early days, I was asked that, and I said, well, if my theory is correct, I don't care how good the selective hearing is. I don't think they can help it being startled by thunder. But I guess I was wrong, because I don't have a great explanation as to why it works, but I got a call from the Greyhound Rescue Shelter in Houston, Texas, and they were so excited that they'd played it for these 15 greyhounds that they'd rescued, and they played it before, during, and after Hurricane Rita, and the dogs slept through the hurricane.
Amazing.
And there were some people in Florida who said, well, you know, we have so much thunder and lightning down here, and we tried it, and the first time we just started playing it when it started thundering, and it didn't seem to have any effect. And she said, but I wasn't going to give up, so she decided that when she knew a thunderstorm was coming, they would play it ahead of time. And she said, now it works. So the only thing I can figure out is, I guess the dog gets focused on that simplicity, that safe place to go, and the thunder isn't as startling or isn't as frightening, although, you know, it scares me. So it wakes me in a thunderstorm with that big crack of, and you imagine hearing it 50 times louder than we do. Whoa.
Yes, it's time to get underneath the bed. Separation anxiety is such a problem for so many people, with two people in the house having to work, the dog being left alone for hours on end. I know dogs can get such panic attacks, literally ripping the furniture apart. Will playing something like these canine lullabies, can you just keep it going 24/7 while you're out of the house to calm these dogs?
Well, that's exactly what you do. You play it at a low volume. You know, you don't have to play these loud because the dogs hear really well and they're going to choose to listen to it anyway. And I think what goes on is when you're playing it, you know, you put repeat on your CD player and it'll play continuously. And I think what's going on there is that the dogs can tune it in and tune it out. You know, if they're upset or they get anxious or they get, you know, they're frustrated, they can tune that, you know, focus on that lullaby with the heartbeat. If they're not upset if there's something more interesting going on, they'll just tune it out and choose something else to listen to. But that's probably one of the biggest things that it's been helpful for is the separation anxiety. And the same thing in the hospitals, you know, they'll play the, even when the babies are asleep, they've got the CD going in the neonatal intensive care units. They don't hear it once they're asleep, but they'll keep it running because if the baby does get upset, that's where they go. That's the safe place they go to. So it's really been helpful for the separation anxiety and for the trips in the car. I know there's an animal clinic down in New Mexico, and they called up, and this woman, every time she brings the dog to their clinic, you know, the dog knows where it's going. It does not like this. And so they gave her the CD to try on the way back, and she, as soon as the woman got back home, she said, "I just can't believe it." She said the dog was just so calm all the way back. So same thing with the babies. There's so many parallels between babies and dogs.
So, Terry, these canine lullabies, besides using them for dogs that might have separation anxiety or thunder phobias or problems riding in a car, what are some other bits of feedback, testimonials that you've gotten from people? What other circumstances that they're using canine lullabies?
Well, I think the boarding kennels and the humane societies, you know, the rescue shelters are the ones that have really benefited the most from it. And in fact, what happened to me, even though I'd had all the, you know, a lot of testimonies from the American Boarding Kennels Association members and other people that had tried it, it wasn't until I saw 50 dogs calm in less than 2 minutes in the Colorado Humane Society. And it was my first trip to a humane society. I know that's awful, but it's true. And you know, the dogs are all barking and jumping. And she turned on that music, and I mean, in this case, it was 15 seconds. All these dogs stopped barking, and they laid down in their cages, and I walked down the aisle. And I mean, I couldn't even get, you know, they didn't even pay attention to me. And so that's when I was truly convinced. I said, well, you know, I'd be irresponsible if I didn't, you know, try to let people know about this. And so the first thing we did was started offering free to shelters, to humane societies, animal clinics, zoos, because they were tested in Honolulu on chimpanzees in a research project, and they call them these aggressive chimps. And so by doing that, you could send one or two CDs, and look how many dogs you're helping keep calm. They're frightened and scared, and they're displaced, and, you know, makes them a lot more adoptable when they're a little calmer and they're out of their environment.
Imagine, instead of walking down the aisle and having dogs, you know, jumping at the cage.
Yeah, right.
They're a calmer pet.
My first time down the aisle, I stayed in the middle. Do you know what I mean? I was just a little... Because I saw some of the things these dogs were doing. And they were friendly, a lot of them, but still, you know. Of course, when I walked back and they didn't even bark at me, I thought, whoa, they're really focused on this. So that's when I decided to do that. And it's hard because people just don't believe it till they see it. I mean, look at me. These parents told us for 12 years, and we just laughed at them. You know, not laughed at them, but we thought, oh, come on.
Snickered behind your back, yes.
So you've got, you know, you just have to see it to believe it. We put the video, we went back a week later and videoed. They weren't the same dogs, but they were the same 50 dogs in cages, and they're all barking, and they calmed down in less than 2 minutes. And it would have been quicker if they hadn't let some dogs in the back of the kennel while we were videotaping. And, you know, usually when they let the dogs in the kennels, I mean, they just all the rest of the dogs go, whoa, they want out too, you know. So we just left the camera running, and less than 2 minutes, all the dogs had calmed down. And these are dogs that maybe it was their first day there, so it isn't like something they had been hearing every day.
So this can really be helpful in a kennel situation. But also, if you have that new puppy that you're just bringing home and
right. It's
going crazy because it doesn't have its litter mate and its mom around anymore, or if you have that dog going through separation anxiety, are there some other instances where you've been able to use these lullabies or other therapeutic reasons?
Well, I'm going to tell you a story that I shouldn't tell you. But
nobody's listening. It's okay.
When we first started out, I sent it to PetSmart, and I got this letter back that said, "We've reviewed your shock collar, but we're not interested in adding it to our line." And I thought to myself, this is really going to be hard. I got a form letter back. Now the PetSmart charity trucks are using them when they pick up the animals and transporting them in Wisconsin and up in New Jersey. So I'm going to call PetSmart again and say, "Now, you know, you're using them in your trucks." and they're not shocking anybody except the people driving them and videotaping them and how calm they are. So it's also been fun, you know, and there's a lot of, I think one of the letters that we got in the early days were from South Dakota, was from this mother who they had a little one-year-old golden retriever. And the dog had all kinds of problems, and it had gone to the vet and had gone into a coma after an operation. And they brought the dog back, and the vet said, well, probably the dog's not going to live. And so the kids got their CD that they had used when they were a baby. We sold about 3.2 million of these to calm babies, so there's a lot of folks out there that have heard this music before, you know. So the kids decided they would play it round the clock for their dog. And they played it for 2.5 days, you know, had repeat on the CD player. And all of a sudden, after 2.5 days, the mother says, the dog jumped up and ran to the door to go outside. And, of course, all the kids are crying. And and she attributed that to them playing the CD. And, of course, whether that did it, I don't know. But still, that moved me. You know, most of the time the stories we get are from parents who've had babies in the hospital or kids in a pediatric unit or kids with cancer that kept calm. And so it was hard for me to hear a story about an animal that would be any more moving to me than with humans. Do you know what I mean? But that one did. And I realized, you know, the love. And then, of course, I started appreciating more, you know, of the other things about animals that are similar to babies, and that is that they give you unconditional love, and a real bond is formed there between the owner and their pet. And I didn't understand that bond until recently, because, you know, I hadn't had any pets in my house since my kids left for college. You know, I was free at last. So
you're getting wonderful feedback, and this is fantastic. If somebody wanted to hear an example of canine lullabies or just learn more about canine lullabies, or they want to calm that human child also, what's a website they can go to, Terry?
Well, they can go to canine, spelled C-A-N-I-N-E, lullabies, lullabies.com. And you can actually bring your dog to the computer and watch your dog calm at the computer, or your baby. And of course, the baby one is babygotosleep.com. This is our 23rd year.
Well, Terry Woodford of Canine Lullabies, this sounds fantastic. I know I have to admit that I've given this to people who have a new puppy and also a new baby, even though it says Canine Lullabies going to the children also.
Right.
So thank you very much. I appreciate it. And let's hope we can have some calm people, some calm pets, and some calm babies. We all need it.
My guest today has been Terry Woodford of Canine Lullabies, and we know that crying babies, crying puppies, barking dogs will drive anyone crazy. So here is a great way to calm them down. No drugs needed, just a CD player, and you too can have a calm pet. If you have other reasons why you may be having problems, issues with your animals, and need some information, the best person to always go to is going to be your own veterinarian. But if you want a second opinion, please feel free to drop me an email note at thepetdoctor@petliferadio.com. My name is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on PetLifeRadio.com. Next week, we'll have some more issues concerning you and your pet. And remember, it is your pet. Health matters. Thanks for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.